The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went out among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you, and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. All of Nazareth had been whispering about Jesus since his last trip home. The conversation during the impromptu gathering at his house left some with the impression that he was crazy. Others feared that he was possessed by an evil spirit. When Jesus came back to visit, they took advantage of the opportunity to hear him speak publicly. They invited him to address those who raised him and those who grew up with him in his home congregation on the Sabbath. Jesus represented a threat to the accepted beliefs and practices of Nazareth. He reminds me of a college student returning home after graduation, full of strange and new ideas. Even though we know almost nothing about Jesus' educational background, his ability to read and to interpret the scriptures suggests that he was educated. Jesus spoke Aramaic. There is a good possibility that he also spoke Greek, which was the language of education in his day, and Hebrew. Some have even speculated that Jesus was exposed to the Eastern religions because some of his ideas are consistent with beliefs or teachings found in Buddhism. Whatever the case may be, Jesus' unique perspective threatened the status quo in Nazareth. Jesus spoke with authority, reinterpreting the things that they had taught him when he was a boy. He challenged teachings that were handed on by generations about obedience, righteousness, and judgment. A murmur arose in the synagogue. "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands?" He was one of their own, but he no longer spoke or acted like one of them. He performed many powerful deeds, but they just could not bring themselves to attribute these deeds to God. In their eyes, his interpretation of the law and the prophets not only threatened what it meant to be a Nazarene, They threatened what it meant to be a Jew. Others considered Jesus a prophet, but they considered him to be a menace. Jesus often threatened the comfort and security of the status quo. It should come as no surprise, then, that we try to limit Jesus' power in order to preserve our own comfort and security. Attorney General Jeff Sessions recently defended the family separation policy with the Bible in his address to law enforcement officials in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on Thursday, June 14th. He cited St. Paul's words to the church in Rome, that every person should regard the governing authorities as an extension of God's own authority. Thus, the Attorney General argued that persons who enter the country illegally sin against God. He suggested that whatever they suffer under God's righteous frown. Furthermore, he portrayed us as caring surrogates, graciously protecting children put at risk by their lawless parents. We should be beaming at such a glowing image of ourselves. Who could fail to recognize Christ in such unquestioning allegiance to God's governing authority and such extraordinary care for the victims of their parents' sin? According to the Attorney General, Jesus is in complete agreement with the status quo, and the government conveniently wields his power. But if God values order above all else and demands unquestioning allegiance to government, what is Jesus doing on the cross? And if, as Paul asserts in Romans 13:3, that rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad, how is it that we call Jesus righteous? How do we dare attribute Jesus' actions to the God of law and order when he suffered the horrific fate of the lawless? Jesus' power is not the power to enforce the law. Jesus' power is the power to constantly overturn the status quo. By constantly overturning the status quo, Jesus revitalized God's people. People who for years had little interest or enthusiasm for God's law suddenly came alive when Jesus spoke. They were burning to talk about this controversial rabbi who saw God's reign as a tangible reality for his own people. With prophetic hands, he liberated scores of people who had no share in the status quo. With prophetic voice, he restored the lost sheep of Israel to God's fold. Soon the synagogues would be filling up with the lawless rabble who were cut off from God's people and numbered among the dead. What were the good law-abiding people to do when this happened? Jesus instructed his apostles to go out into the villages around Nazareth, proclaiming his message and performing his works. He shared his prophetic authority with them, so that they might do great deeds of power also. As they cast out demons and healed the sick throughout Judea, they proclaimed that all should repent. Notice that the apostles do not only call some to repent, they call all to repent. For the kingdom of God was not just about turning back the clock for a few sick or possessed people. It was about remaking God's people by restoring the lost and the condemned. A reality that God initiated by raising Jesus up from the lawless dead. Jesus continues to overturn the status quo today through his cross and his resurrection. Attorney General Sessions and other Christian lawmakers would do well to remember our crucified Savior, who was himself counted among the lawless. They would do well to remember the call of the apostles that all should repent. Christ has already made the lawless right with God and with us. By his authority, we rally around those who have long suffered under the status quo. Unyielding disciples of the status quo repent from hardened hearts. The lost and condemned are restored to communion through the work of Christ. We will see the power of Christ as we support them in their need. God calls you and me to a distinct ministry within the body of Christ to share the bread of life. Our mission begins right here at the table with communion. We are remade each week through the bread and the wine of the Lord's table, not only as God's people, but as a new humanity. God satisfies us with the bread of life and sends us home to share what we have received. I invite you to enter a practice of prayer and reflection this week. On the drive home today, ask God to help you see the rest of this week rightly. As you drive through your neighborhood, ask yourself, what is the status quo for my neighbors? As you go about your work this week, ask yourself, how is God using me right here and right now to provide something that my neighbor needs? As you listen to the news this week, ask yourself, how can I better care for and support those who constantly live with a shortage of daily bread? Then write your answers down in a journal. Pray over them. Share them with a friend. You will see God at work. Jesus never returned to Nazareth after addressing his home congregation that Sabbath night. His teachers, his friends, even members of his own family resisted him with every fiber of their being. They knew where his ideas would lead him, and they wanted no part of that shameful cross. But the few who had faith in him were cured. They saw what the others could not, the restoration of God's people and the dawn of God's reign. Jesus has called you out from among your family, your friends, and your neighbors to proclaim this good news. You are a member of Christ's body, his authority and his power live in you.